Some years ago, a young Christian came to me. They'd just recently been saved. And I was speaking with them, and they said, you know, how am I going to make sure that things continue the way they are now? They were so delighted to be saved, and they were willing to do anything that they could for the Lord. They had great enthusiasm and great zeal, and they were afraid of losing that kind of feeling that they had. And we don't, of course, rely everything always on feelings, but they felt that the Lord was very near to them, that they were now transformed, brought out of darkness into light, and they really wanted to live for him. And during that conversation, I can't remember the exact words, but they made reference to the fact that they would hate to look back over a lifetime and feel, I could have been so much more for the Lord. I could have been so much more for the Lord. They wanted to do it now, and they did not want to have the kind of regret that comes when we look back and say, I could have been so much more for the Lord. And we were able to give them some verses. And again, I can't remember exactly what the verses were, but there's a verse here that we've read this morning that can help you, Christian, and help me just day by day, as we must live day by day, can help us to live at our best for the Lord. It says there in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Now, in the context here, and especially reading the final verse of this chapter, you will see that there's something mentioned that no Christian here is a stranger to. It's called weariness. It refers to that state that comes our way from time to time. I'm not speaking here of tiredness. If we feel tired, we get up and wash our face in cold water, and we go on out to the meeting, and then we're glad that we did go. This is a different kind of weariness. It refers to a faintness in our mind, and it actually carries the meaning, the word weary here carries the meaning of being exhausted. And sometimes in whatever you're doing for the Lord, you may feel a little bit weary and a little bit exhausted, but the word here has a depth to it that means to have your spirit broken, and that's different, or I should say that's more serious. It actually carries the meaning, signifies an abandonment of the things that you hold dear. An abandonment of the things that you hold dear. So while we do grow tired sometimes the cold water is the answer. With the spiritual weariness, there has to be another answer, because we do not want to lose out. Because if that spiritual weariness goes on unchecked, excuse me, unhappiness creeps in. Discontent comes along. And whenever we look at our hearts that once were full of love for the Lord and a willingness to do what we could for him, and we loved to witness when we got the opportunity, and we loved to be among the people of God, loved to be praying, and we loved all of those things. If those things are allowed to stay, unhappiness comes, and there's no desire to witness and no desire for fellowship and very little desire to pray, and we become almost shackled by worldliness. And really, I'm not saying we'd be looking for a get out clause, but we certainly do not have the zeal that we would want to enjoy. Now, this weariness is something that every single Christian will know about sometimes. If you look there in verse 28, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. You see, we have him to turn to. His faithfulness, his unchangeability to rely on. And he goes on in the next verse, the Holy Spirit records for us, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Please remember that what we're saying here is applicable to every one of us, because it shows us in that verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary. Those that you associate with energy and vigor and life and enthusiasm, even they shall grow weary. So it's not something that's confined to people, let's say my age or older than that, but it's for everyone. What I'm saying is, here is a strong possibility, growing weary, losing out, stepping back from where we were. The word doesn't mean the same anymore. God's way doesn't mean the same anymore. And by the way, that person that I was talking to, they've done just that. Things were okay for a few years. But they've stepped back now and abandoned the things that they love. So this is a very real danger. And it's something that makes me realize just how much we continually need the presence and the power of the Lord that is shown here. And maybe there is one today, and you can feel the beginning of it. Beginning to grow spiritual weary. I know there are people here and they work in their own work, and then they do work here until they're really ready for a good sleep. But maybe that other weariness, that spiritual weariness has been on your trail for a while. And you're beginning to feel it. And you're beginning to feel what, maybe I'm beginning to lose out. Well, you don't have to lose out. Because it says here in the verse 31, but, and that makes all the difference, they that wait upon the Lord. The word wait there means to steadily and patiently wait until something that is affected. It's a wee bit frustrating if you feel that you're growing weary, and then you wait upon the Lord and you go and you seek the Lord in prayer and you come away and say, well, I don't feel any different today. I still feel as weary as I did yesterday. Well, sometimes the Lord doesn't answer right away. Right away. It means to wait steadily and patient, holding on to his promise. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Maybe you could remember that verse this week. Sometime when you feel a bit weary, you could say, well, the Lord has promised to give power to the faint. That's me. Excuse me. And to them that have no strength, he's able to come along and to give strength to them. It's always good when we come to wait before the Lord, to wait out of a sense, or with a sense of weakness. To trust that his power is totally unchanged. To have that spirit of expectancy, and at the same time, be willing to do his bidding. And to follow on after him. And that is what it says. That is the promise for you, brethren and sisters. He giveth power to the faint. Excuse me for coughing. I've got a tickly cough. I hope it doesn't get any worse. But he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Many a time I could put my name to that verse and say, I'm so glad it's there. Because that is exactly what I need. And I know that many, many Christians can look back and say, I can remember those days when I just wanted to do everything for the Lord. Really looked forward to the meeting so much. Really loved the fellowship of God's people. And you can hardly hold me back as far as enthusiasm was concerned. But I wonder, and then we think to ourselves, why is it not like that now? Maybe it is. Only you and the Lord know that. And I want to leave with you some thoughts this morning on the results of this. When God comes to you or me, and we feel that we're weak and faint, and he comes along and he infuses into us that strength that we need. And he looks upon you with the best will in the world that you have, and you just cannot feel the enthusiasm that you want to feel. He comes along and he meets your need. When that happens, it doesn't mean simply that, well, you have a bit more interest in the word, or you like the meetings a bit more. It means much more than that. Because when the Lord really does this and gives power to the faint and strength to them that have no strength, we have a transformed life. Of course, we're transformed when we're converted. But when God comes along and he ministers to us in this way, we have a transformed and an effective life. And that's what we want to have, brethren and sisters. notwithstanding our stumbling along the way, we don't want to look back and say, I could have been such more, so much more. We want to look back and say, in the eyes of the world, and indeed of everybody else too, I mightn't have been very much, but I was everything I could be because the Lord enabled me. And I looked to him and I waited for him. And as we look here this morning, now that is the title, A Transformed and an Effective Life. I want you to notice with me here some of the results of this waiting upon the Lord. You will notice there is, first of all, an exchange. It says there, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew could easily be translated exchange. They shall exchange their strength. And how often that new strength, and I'm speaking personally here, how often that new strength is really our deepest need. And as we come before God, the word is showing us here, as we come before him with our weakness and honesty before him, he can exchange it and give us the strength and power we need. Verse 29 again. Number one, he can give us moral strength. Every adult here knows what it is to try to walk uprightly in a fallen world. And living in a world that is full of temptation and more anything goes, and man does that which is right in his own eyes, and more he shake his fist in your face and tell you to mind your own business if you tell him different than that. But the Lord can give us, in the midst of all of that, strength to do the right thing, to adopt the right attitude. And some believe that the reference here is alluding to our fidelity or our faithfulness in the cause of Christ. And so it well may be. It says over there in 2 Corinthians, it's chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The word beguiled there means thoroughly beguiled. That can happen, brethren and sisters. Should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The word there, corrupted, refers to bringing something into a worsening state. As far as the Christian is concerned, it means to lead away from a condition of holiness and away from the teaching of the word. And if this reference over in Isaiah is to this fidelity and faithfulness to the word, how important it is for us then that the Lord would give us the strength to remain faithful to his word and faithful to his cause. Friday evening, Cherith and I were over at a dinner that our Dungannon congregation had, where we come from, to celebrate 50 years of gospel witness. And we saw a DVD presentation and so on, heard some people speak that had been there at the very beginning, 50 years ago. And this was the answer. This was the answer to God continuing to keep the door open. It was fidelity to the word. Of course, there were people coming and wanted to change everything, and that didn't work, and they had to move out and on. And there were many struggles over the years. But remaining faithful to the word. And I listened to the clerk of session say this, and he was there, and he's just a little more than a boy. It was remaining faithful to the word. And faithful to the cause of Christ. And he said one thing, he says, we're never set out to the biggest church in the world. They're bigger, big congregation, but they're not the biggest. He says, we never set out, but we did set out to be a faithful congregation. And I was encouraged to hear him saying that. After all of them years, we set out to be faithful. And 50 years later, they're still faithful. But when we do apply it to ourselves as individuals, I have to look back now 30 years and say, am I as interested and as enthusiastic as I was then? Do things really matter the way they did then concerning the cause of Christ? Well, I hope they do. I hope they do. Over in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, it says there in verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter hath tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Apostle Paul is writing, of course. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. And there's nothing or very little encourages Christians more than to meet with others or to converse with others and to fellowship with others who are standing firm for the Lord. But I mentioned here moral strength. Strength, of course, to stand firm for the Lord, but moral strength, young people, older people, the temptations that are confronting you day and daily. We need that strength from the Lord, and the promise here is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You can take the weakness right now and exchange it for new strength. There is that moral strength, but spiritual strength, that is absolutely vital. It is vital. Ministers and elders have the very solemn responsibility of being spiritual oversight of a church. And that being the case, I am very aware that I must have spiritual strength. Because we have responsibility from the Lord. There can be out in the world or that which will come against the cause of Christ and could be discouraging. But still, we must keep that relationship with the Lord. We must keep close to him and continue in communion with him in order that we continually know that spiritual strength. That is the downfall of a denomination when they lose spiritual strength. They must have it. But then we must have the spiritual strength as individuals as well. Over in Psalm 42 there, the psalmist was well-meaning. Well-meaning. At the beginning of the Psalm 42 in verse 1, it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The line of communion here with the Lord isn't broken. They're able to say that they're panting still after the Lord. There is that thirst for the things of God. That real desire to be knowing his strength and his power. Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? That's a wee bit like today. People will say, where is God? Almost every month now we're hearing about some other situation in school or in some establishment where he's been put out. And they don't want the Lord in there anymore. And that grieves Christians. And then he says in verse 5, and he's really honest here to himself and the Lord. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? And the word there refers to tumult in your mind. Tumult in your mind. Upset. Very unsettled. Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And that is what we're looking at in Isaiah chapter 40. His smile of approval upon it. Him coming along and giving to us that strength that we need, exchanging our weakness for strength. Sometimes we speak to people outside, not I was going to say outside the congregation, but outside the denomination too. And they will say to us, you know, I just love to be where I used to be with the Lord. Love to be. But it can't be. But I say, well, you can be. You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He can give that strength back again. And when that happens, great joy comes back into serving the Lord. Great joy comes back into serving the Lord. Serving the Lord always costs you something, usually time. And if you're involved in teaching, you have something to prepare, and that's more time. And it also costs you, it means patience. Because sometimes the work that you're involved in, you can plod on for a very long time before you see any tangible fruit. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He's able to come along and to help you in your small corner to really enjoy what you're doing for the Lord. To be filled with joy in the Lord. You know, in the DVD we watched on Friday night, you know, there was one lady who's in the wheelchair, and she was saying about how way back at Killyman Mission in 1968, she called upon the Lord. been to meetings ever since. And there are other people, as I looked around me there, when I was a boy in Sabbath school in Dungannon, they were a lot younger. And now some of them are unwell. Some of them have crutches. And some of them weren't able to be there. But you know, the fire hasn't gone. The joy hasn't gone. There's still that strength that comes from the Lord. And we in our day and generation, let's, brethren and sisters, be those who say, I don't want to look back and say, oh, I could have been so much more. I read a little poem one time and I can't remember it all, but it was entitled, I Wish I Had Given Him More. And I thought, boy, I never want to be there. I never want, it was about standing before the Lord and looking back and saying, I wish I'd given him more. Of course, we're limited in our own ability by ourselves, but if we cast ourselves upon him, who knows what he can do? Who knows what he can do for us by way of strengthening us? So today, don't spend another day in weariness. Don't let this fainting come, because the devil will come along and he'll capitalize upon you and steer you into what seems to be an easier way. Well, you're really losing out with the Lord. There is here exchange in this verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But there is also enthusiasm. For it says there, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Most people here would know that an eagle is the king of birds. And for me anyway, seeing a golden eagle and two golden eagles together in Scotland in 2012, for me, as far as bird watching is concerned, that was the best it can get for me, to see those eagles hunting on the mountainside. And you know, there's something about eagles. If you look through your Bible, eagles' wings, in Exodus chapter 19, for instance, verse 4, eagles' wings are connected with strength. There's something very interesting about these eagles. The structure of the bones of their wings is cylindrical. That's the way God has created them. It is cylindrical, and therefore when you have the bones and the feathers, of course, on there, when the big eagle spreads out its wings, it almost floats like a balloon. And you read, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. I've actually stood, I remember standing in the back of, it wasn't the back of anything, but off the trailer that I was on, and stood and looked at them. There was two eagles, and they were just mounting up, but they didn't seem to move in their wings. But they kept going higher and higher and higher and higher like that, with almost very little. They were using the air. But why were they able to go up like that? They're a big, big bird. Because their wings are cylindrical. And that, coupled with the feathers, they're able to do literally watch them. I was able to literally watch them mounting up. Because that's what it's called. And that's what the Lord says here. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Mount up with wings as eagles. The eagle is a bird of the skies. Somebody said one time that they saw one that someone had captured, and they had it chained to a stone and looked really unhappy. It was able to hop about, but it could only go so far. It couldn't really enjoy itself. It couldn't certainly be at its best. Another case where somebody had an eagle and its wings were clipped and it could just bounce off the ground just a little bit. It looked a picture of drudgery. What a picture of me if I grow weary. Tied to the earth, tied to that which is worldly, very limited, far more than I should be, because I've grown weary. But you know, these eagles, they're meant to soar. And the further up an eagle soars, the smaller earth appears. And for you and I, sometimes the big earth looks all conquering and all powerful, and we feel like nothing, just a little speck. But whenever we're knowing this strength that comes from the Lord, we get things in perspective. And yes, God has given us many things to enjoy, but we set our affection on things above. And we're able to see the earth just as the world, just as it is. And more than that, whenever these eagles are soaring up, not only to the sea earth as smaller, but when they soar up, they're going where the air is purer. Apparently, an eagle is the only bird that's able to go so high that it's out of the sight of human beings. That's high. But it's up there where the air is pure. And when you and I are enjoying this strength that comes from waiting upon the Lord, he gives to us this enthusiasm which is manifested by seeing the world as it is and by having a desire for those things which are pure. God's word is pure. God's people are, and while they're all people who love us and care for us and we love them, God's people are a great people to be among. But not only do we see here the soaring, the eagle soaring up and seeing the world as smaller and being where the air is pure here, there is protection up there and safety. How do you harm an eagle that is out of your view? And Christian, our lives are hid with Christ and God. But the devil is always out to trip you up. He's always out to trip you up. But with believers who have learned how to appropriate this verse 29 to their lives, thinking, well, I need to pray, that is good, but it's never enough. Wrestling in prayer and laying hold upon the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you give me the blessing. I don't want to look back with regret. I want to be my best now. And I'm going to wait upon you until I am my best. That being the case, Christian, the devil can do very little with you. He can do, well, he will try to, it's very darts, but you've got the shield of faith to quench those darts. And he will not be happy with you. And he may even take some who you looked upon as comrades and use them to discourage you, but you will know. You will know that God has stepped in for you and that your waiting upon him has paid off and he's given to you an enthusiasm for the things of God that's not easily quenched. As I said, that enthusiasm is manifested in seeing the world as it is. When I begin to see the world as all-conquering and the most important thing that there is, I need to watch out. But whenever we're in this state of being strengthened, we will want to be in that which is pure, in God's word, in God's worship, and in God's work. But we will also be those who are protected by the Lord in our work for him, because we haven't come down to starting to trifle with those things that can harm our testimony. So there is that enthusiasm. We noted first of all there was the exchange, that renewing their strength. Then the enthusiasm, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. But then finally here I want to say that the enemy is faced and victory is won. Because it says there, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That statement goes contrary to logic. I one day, I think Jordan was with me or somebody. I can't remember who it was, around a couple of years ago down at Hillsborough Park. And I would sometimes go for walks just to try to keep fit. Quite often, actually, walk. But this day, I decided to run a bit. It took me about a week to get over it. I ran about 100 yards, and it was hard. You used to be able to run a lot more than that. But when you run, generally, you become tired. And you become weary. And it says here, they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, I want to say, of course, that it is natural. It is not natural to run and not feel weary. Even the greatest athlete who, if they run far enough, you will see them and they are very, very weary. But God's promise here is, what he's really saying, he's going to give you ability, Christian, to do that which you feel right now is impossible for you to do. That is running and not being weary. And the running here is, running is something, actually, when you think of it this way, it keeps you warm. That's for sure. And if you're running for God, your heart will be warmed. And again, the devil can do very little with you. If you're a Christian that's laying hold upon the Lord and waiting upon him, given to prayer, and you mean it, and your enthusiasm's there, your relationship is right with him, you're walking, the devil will hate you, but he can't do much with you. He certainly can't do anything with you outside God's will. But the word shows us all of the tragedy of pulling back because of weariness and losing out and departing from our stand, even in our own heart, from the Lord. And God can give you achieving power. He can give you staying power in what he's given you to do. He can give you influencing power. And I trust that he will enable all of us to run and not be weary. Can't do very much by ourselves, but we can do all things through him that he would guide us to do. It also speaks there of the running. It's funny there, or sorry, the walking. It doesn't say they shall run and not be weary. It says they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You would think it was the other way round. You know, walking, well, walking's walking, but it's not as bad as running. But there's something very important here. It says they shall walk and not faint. What about among your loved ones? Your work colleagues is not where you walk. You run here. And whatever you're doing, teaching or whatever it is, you happen to drive in the bus, whatever it is, you run. But you walk at home. You walk among loved ones. You walk among those in your place of work. And they can be the most testing places for Christians. But the Lord says here, they that wait upon the Lord, they're able to walk and not faint. Again, remember that fainting very often means losing out. It means losing out. And I trust that the Lord will come today to your heart and to mine. And he will enable us to exchange weariness. And we're not going to be foolish and say we never feel spiritually weary. Of course we do. But that doesn't mean we wallow in it. Here is the answer. Come before the Lord and exchange it for strength that he's promised to you. He's promised it to you. Looking the other night at my friend, Robert McFarland. He's the same age as me. And he's an elder in Dungannon, has been now for 20 years. And Robert's been teaching the Bible class from he was able to go to it himself. I don't know how long. He has to be teaching for 30 years at least. Never complains. Loves teaching it. He has 2 or 3 farms to run. But he doesn't miss the Bible class. And why is he able to do all of that? Because he's learned the secret. The power comes from outside himself, and it comes through waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. If you look again at the verse there, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength. It's impossible, Christian, if you determine that from this day you will give yourself to seeking the Lord in the very best way you can. He shall renew your strength. And if that doesn't happen, you could say then, God's gone back on his word, but he won't. He won't. If we seek him from that full heart. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, and the verse 3 says, consider him, that is Christ. And the verse before that tells us some things about him. We're looking to him, looking unto him, our eyes are upon him. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye become weary and faint in your minds. And Christian, that is just where the devil wants to have you. Just where he wants to have you. And this plague, we could call it, of weariness that comes along from time to time, you and I can exchange it today for strength. We can know the exchange. We can know the enthusiasm again. Mounting up with wings as eagles. Great to go out every morning knowing that while you may not have what a lot of the world seems to have, you have the Lord, you're his ambassador. Getting things in perspective, and he's able to keep you right and to keep you going on with himself. The exchange, the enthusiasm, the enemy faced and victory won. So often it seems that the enemy is doing very well these days. But it doesn't have to be the case. A transformed life and an effective instrument. May the Lord help us all to be that for his honour and for his glory in these days. It is the Lord's will for us as his people that we would know this help that he has promised to us.